You got some prayer requests over there, Easter. Okay. I don't. Yes, I do. Pray for my brother in Christ. I'm calling it for Joseph. Joseph, my brother in Christ. I got to sit with him yesterday at the table outside of where I'm employed. And he's lost an addiction. And I seen him yesterday, and I hadn't seen him in a while, and I prayed for him. He's one that I pray for. And he came and sat with me yesterday, and I had a little bit of food and a Dr. Pepper and stuff, and sitting there eating, and he just comes and sits down beside me. Hey, how are you? Hey, brother, how are you doing? Are you hungry? Here. Are you thirsty? Here's the rest of my Dr. Pepper. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The so Lord, it's really sometimes hard to be in places and do what the Lord wants you to do in those places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I'm believing for this guy. Mm-hmm. So if y'all can put yourself in agreement with me for my brother in Christ, Joseph.
And what exactly do we need to pray for him? You said he needs to be set free from an addiction? Or yes, he has been set free?
He needs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And
okay.
Yeah, he needs freedom from, he needs deliverance.
Okay.
And just the love of the Lord.
We can do that. I'm going to, my wife lost her grandpa this past week, and I'm going to be doing his funeral tomorrow. So that's been a little tough for her. Yeah. So I'm going to add her family on that.
Yes. That's right. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I figured I wouldn't get an objection.
No.
But.
We did pray yesterday or the day before for your wife's family.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, yeah, you did. I tuned in. To us. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we want to pray for Hawaii. The last I looked, you know, they've got those wildfires going on.
I don't know what
the last time I looked, the death toll was at least 53.
Yeah.
They've got thousands homeless and have had over 1,800 acres burned across Maui and the Big Island.
Yeah, and they've lost. I saw that there were several people that had to go in the ocean to avoid stuff, too. You know, I'm like, lost a lot of facts and your...
I think I read they've got it 80% contained.
Oh, good. Wow.
That was the last thing I saw.
Is that in Maui? Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. I thought. Okay. Okay. Let's pray for these people. Dearly Father, God, we are so thankful that we serve such a mighty God that at any moment's notice, God, we can come before you with our cares, our concerns, and our praises for you. That, God, we don't have to beckon you to come to us or beg for an audience with you. God, you have made yourself available to us like a good father that you are. Father, right now we want to lift up Hawaii. God, we want to lift up the island of Maui and the Big Island. God, we want to pray for those people as the fire has swept through, damaging, burning down so many homes, taking a lot of lives, God, and artifacts and things that they have there, God. And God, I know I can't even begin to imagine the heartache of the loss of their people and the loss of land and all the things that they have going on there. Father, I pray that God, that some way, somehow you are going to use this to bring about your glory, bring about salvation. God, you would restore those people and their livelihoods, God, as they start over for some of them. God, you would help them pick up the pieces. God, maybe even helping rebuild their life around you. That, Father, if there were things going on, that, Father, they would somehow find you in the midst of this. Father, you would surround them with all the people and the care to help replenish what they've lost. God, renew their strength. God, show them that they are not alone in this. Father, I pray that there would be a lot of help outpouring around just to help out Hawaii in this moment. And God, so we just pray you would continue to protect the lives That God, if that we pray for the firefighters and all the people that are fighting this fire, God, you would help stop it in its tracks. You would eliminate it, God. You would squash out this fire, God. You would give the strength and the endurance to all of those fighting these fires, God. God, you would just allow them to do the very best that they possibly can do, and then some, God. You would give them your strength that pushes them the extra mile, and God, you would bless them in their efforts. So, God, we just continue to lift them up to you. We pray that no more lives would fall victim to this fire, God. We know things can be destroyed, things can be rebuilt, things can be found again. Father, lives are so valuable, and so we pray for those people. And, Lord, we pray for Joseph as well. God, I don't know him, but I know you do. You know exactly his hurts, his pains, and where he needs healing and deliverance from. Father, I pray and ask in Jesus' name that you would set him free from the bondages of addiction or whatever it is that it may be going on in his life, that he would see the greater need of pursuing Jesus rather than whatever it is that he may be trying to live for now. God, I pray that you would just change his heart. You would change his desires for you rather than for those things. God, we pray that and ask that in Jesus' name, that you would set him free in that. And then, Lord, I lift up my wife and her family. God, I know it's hard when we lost such a great father figure like Travis. And, Father, I know that, that, God, there's just a lot of things going on right now. But, God, we know that you are good. We know that you are in control of all things. So, Father, I pray that as we get ready to celebrate his life, as we honor the life that he has, that God, we also give you the glory for it. So God, we get ready for that. I just pray for salvation to come out of the service tomorrow. God, I know the gospel is going to be presented and preached, and I pray that, I know there's going to be hearts in that room that don't know you as Lord. The Father, as maybe they see how we as Christians in this room celebrate life, and it's not a mourning, it's not a loss, it's not I'll never see them again. But God, we know that there's hope because Travis was a believer. We know where he's at right now. And so God, we pray that the unbelievers in this room would see how as Christians are set apart in our mourning, that we don't have to mourn like the rest of the world when we know that we have a hope and a future in Jesus. And so Father, I pray that salvation would break loose in that place. I pray that maybe there'd be some recommitment of seeing how for those that may have walked away from you, how to get back on track with you. So, Lord, whatever it is that you're going to do through that service, God, we give you the glory and praise. And I already want to say thank you because I know you're going to do a mighty work through all of this. So, God, we give you the glory and praise. God, we can't do anything apart from you. God, we would be fools to attempt it. So we just humbly lay this at your feet. We love you and ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Custom designs in wood. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Crosscut Creations.
Crosscut. That sounds cool.
Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located right here in Elk City at the Promise Center. The Refuge Church is located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey.
You
want to
do the wheel now?
Yes. Let's do it now. Let's do her now.
How do you do the wheel?
Uh-oh. Okay.
I accidentally hit the back button, and I thought it deleted it all. It's a website that I go on.
Oh, yeah.
And I just put the names in there.
Is all you do tap it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Can I tap it?
Yeah. Yep. Let him tap it.
And I'll let you put it to the camera. Yeah, just literally tap it?
Yeah, right in the middle.
Oh, it's going.
It's going. Who is it?
Lisa.
All right. Lisa Taylor. Yay. We love you, Lisa.
Y'all know Lisa? So yes. I can pick a good book for her? Okay.
Well,
we've got her
book.
Oh yeah, I got that book. Yeah, I was given that. I have that book.
You'll be doing the book for August. We're kind of running.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, we just haven't picked it yet. Okay. Michael's gone.
Is that Lisa?
End of July,
so that's what Lisa's getting?
Yes.
She's getting that one.
Oh, Lisa, that's an awesome book. For real.
Yeah.
It's such a good. Yeah. Oh, Tim?
Yeah.
I know Tim.
He's
love Tim.
Cool.
I love Tim.
Yeah.
That's a great book. Yeah, we were at that seminary or that together and we got that book. It's phenomenal.
Okay. So, right on.
So that's going to be good.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and our guest for today is Jace Morrow. Mm-hmm. His title for this morning is Moses and the Burning Bush.
Yes. That's it.
Back to you, brother.
Okay. All right. So just kind of where we've been, we talked about Moses, or we are talking about Moses. He told that, you know, God has set us apart. We are not to blend in, be like the rest of the world. God as holy, we are to be holy as well, be set apart, which means our life should be different and living for the Lord. We also talked about that, man, God is the one that's calling us. Yeah, if God has called us to go, then we should go. And then the last thing that I have for you, number 3, is this. If God is sending you, which he is, if God is sending you, any excuse you give is automatically lame. If God is the one sending you, any excuse you give is automatically lame. All right, I'm going to show you some of the verses that Moses, after God has sent him, told him to go, to the excuses that Moses gave. So chapter 3, verse 11 says this. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. Chapter 4, verse 10 says this. But Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. And verse 13, down there, last one. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send somebody else. Like, listen to those phrases. After God has called him to have a conversation with Holy God, he is setting apart Moses for a purpose and a plan. God has, God is the one calling him, telling him to go, and now he's giving excuses, and they're automatically lame, right? Like, to put them in different terms of chapter 3, verse 11, where he's, I mean, who am I? What is there anything significant and important about me? Why am I the one that should go and do this? God, there's nothing fancy about me. There's nothing good about me. God, I'm sure there's somebody else that's more eligible or better than me. Like, send them. Who am I that I should be the one to go? All right, the next one. You know, what if they don't listen to me? You know, what if they don't believe me that, hey, God is the one sending me? Okay, yeah, God is sending you. Okay, we're going to do it. Like, they're not going to believe me. Why would they believe me? They don't want me. They don't, you know, just send anybody else. They wouldn't want that. Then the next one I love is, it's ironic. He's talking to the creator of life, and he says, hey, look, I'm not good with speech. Like, I don't speak well. Like, my tongue trips up. I stutter. Whatever it is. Whatever it is that he's got going on, I am not elegant in my speech. Like, I stumble over my words. And I love how God responds to that. We didn't read it, but God was like, who do you think created the tongue that's in your mouth right now? Like, you don't think I'm going to give you the words to speak? Like, you're tripping right now. Like, it's funny to me. I love that. It's just like, who do you think gave you that mouth to speak? I know what I'm doing, right? And then the last one kind of makes me chuckle. Like, it's just like the last ditch effort. Lord, please just send somebody else. Like, just anybody. I am not, who am I, right? Nothing important or significant about little old me, Moses, is going to sin. And they're not going to believe me. Why would they believe me? I'm not good in speech, whatever it is that it is. I'm not great in it. God, please, for the love of you, just send somebody else. Like, just anybody. Right? Don't you think God knew what he was doing when he was approaching Moses with this? I really think God knew a thing or two, because he's seen a thing or two, like State Farm. But, like, I really think God knew what he was doing, but Moses still felt like he wasn't good enough. Even though God saw something different, Moses couldn't see past what he, that feeling like he wasn't good enough. And if I'm going to be fully honest, that's me some days. I know I'm being used by God, and on those days where I fail, I trip up, and I don't feel good enough, where I make some of those excuses as well. There are days where I feel worthless, where I feel like, man, I can't, I'm not living up to this. God could use somebody better, right? Yet again, I start comparing myself and my walk with the Lord with other people's lives and walk with the Lord, and immediately could start to think, man, God, you would be better off using that person than me, right? Like, I, as if God doesn't already have something lined up for me, if I would just be obedient. But I can do a really good job of comparing myself to others, feeling like I can't, or feeling like God shouldn't use me, even though I think God would have his way, and it would be better than my own way, right? Because bottom line, let's look back over Moses' life, just to back this thought up, right? Think about, where is God sending Moses back to? He's sending him back to Egypt, right? The land that he grew up in. Where is he supposed to go? He's supposed to go back to the palace, right? So he's not just aimlessly going back. He's planning. He's telling Moses, go back to the land that you're from. Go back to Egypt. I need you to go to the palace, right? I need you to talk to the Pharaoh. So think about this. He's asking the one guy, hey, I need you to go back to the place that you grew up in, the palace. Moses grew up in the palace. He knows the layout of the palace. He knows the palace. Also, I need you to talk to the current Pharaoh. The current Pharaoh, more than likely, was one of the people he grew up with in the palace. He's very familiar with the Pharaoh. He probably personally knows the Pharaoh because he grew up with him in the palace. And also, Moses is very familiar with the royal political structure. How you respond to the Pharaoh, how you communicate, how the courts work, how all of it, how the whole royal political structure of the palace works. So for me, when I think about that, I immediately like praise God and go, man, God, that's a no-brainer. Who else better than Moses to go back to the palace that he grew up in, to talk to the Pharaoh that he probably grew up in, and a person that understands the royal political situation? Man, there's no one better than Moses to send back. It's almost like God knew this ahead of time, right? Which he did. There is no one better to send back to the situation that he is calling Moses to go back to. Like, God knew all of this, but all Moses saw was his failure. So that's all Moses saw. And so I've shared this with the teens before, and so I think of, there's a lot of, you know, teens that struggle with this as followers of Jesus, and there are also a lot of adults that struggle with this too, so I've got to spin it this way towards adults. But I've told our teens before, as they go back to school and they think about their flaws, they think about their failures, they think about their mistakes, sometimes they feel worthless and broken and messy, And I'm like, but who better to go back to your school in your hallways in your classroom with the people that you've been in class with since kindergarten? Who better to live out a life for Christ, to see your school as a mission field, than you as a student? Same thing for you adults. When you rub shoulders with the people that you have been coworkers with for the past 15 years, but yet you've never shared Christ with them, or you've never lived a life set apart for the Lord that looks different than the coworkers around you that don't know Christ, or anything, who better than to God to send in the workplace that you're at right now, the family that you were born in, the hometown you were put in, wherever that is, who better than to go, who knows the structure of the place that you're at, the relationships that you've built, to help lead somebody to Christ, to know Christ, than you, who God has placed in that area? God has a purpose and a plan for you, right? And I bet somebody, at least one person tuning in, if not maybe one of us in this room, because I wrestle with this, I have to wrestle with this sometimes, I guarantee there's at least one person who has been listening that may feel broken inside, that may feel, especially as a follower of Jesus, you may feel a little fake and phony because you put on a really good mask that looks like you're really strong in your faith, but really, you know, deep down inside, you feel broken and shame of your guilt. Maybe you haven't been living the life that you know that God has set you apart for. And so you feel a little fake. Maybe you feel a little worthless, especially those that may be listening who don't know Christ, don't know the peace of the Lord. They never put their faith and trust in the Lord. Maybe you feel all that stuff too. You feel worthless and you feel alone in this world, like there's no purpose for you either, right? The list could go on and on and on, right? But here's the thing. For Christians, this is not how God sees you. This is not how God looks at you. He sees someone who he has designed to be set apart. He sees someone who he has called to go, and he has sees someone who may need to stop giving excuses and just needs to be ready to go. So followers of Jesus, maybe that's you today. Maybe that's you. You are a person that maybe, one, you have not been living the life that you know God has set you apart for. You've put your faith and trust in the Lord, but you've been modeling your life, your actions, your choices after your friend group, after your clique, after your social media people you like to follow, or after your coworkers, and your life hasn't really reflected a life that is a life of obedience to Jesus. And I want to encourage you in this way, man, repent of those things. You can turn away from those things and go, okay, Lord, what's one step I can take back to turn away from my coworkers or my crew that doesn't live life for Christ? And how can I take one step of action towards living my life more for you? Just start small. Start with one action choices. Maybe that's starting a daily Bible study. Maybe that's going back to church, getting involved in a church. I know people sometimes feel like, well, I can worship God anywhere. Yeah, that's true. But Scripture commands it, like, to be a part of it. We should not neglect the gathering of the saints, but also you will be eaten alive if you are not routinely getting and plugged into a church. You will spiritually drown and not survive on your own. We are called to collect and be the body of Christ and encourage and equip one another. And so maybe that's getting back into church and doing all the things. Or maybe there's something that God, you know, God has been calling you to do, whether that's an action, whether that's to start something. Maybe that's an action to stop something that you've been putting off because you know it's going to be challenging. You know it's going to be tough. Or it's something that deep down in you right now, you don't want to because you know what it's going to require of you. But God has been calling you to do it for a while, and you've been saying no. Maybe the next thing that you need to do is stop resisting the Lord and surrender to that. Because I promise you, it's much better to follow through with the plans of God, because you may feel worthless, alone, you can't do it or accomplish it. But the same thing that I believe for Moses, if he has called you to do something, don't you believe that he has fully equipped you and prepared you to do the thing that he has called you to do? He is not going to call you to do something and leave you high and dry to figure it out on your own. If he has called you to do something, he has called you for whatever it is that he has set aside, set you apart for to do. He has given you the tools, and he's going to give you what it's going to take to do it. But you got to trust him in that. And so I want to turn it to you. If you're here today and you're like, Jace, I've never put my faith and trust in the Lord. I've never trusted in him. I believe in Jesus, but I just believe there's other ways, or I don't believe just in Jesus alone. My life, I feel worthless. I feel fake. I feel phony. I feel alone. Can I encourage you in this? God, ultimately, like I said earlier, God designed you to be set apart, to be different, but we can't do that on our own. here's how God has designed that for you to be set apart, is one, we are sinful beings and we can't fix ourselves. That's the mess. Oftentimes we get in trouble. We get ourselves in trouble because we try to fix ourselves when we can't, when self is the problem. And so God created us to be in a relationship with him, but we are the ones that goofed up and messed up and let sin in the in our lives. And because of our sinfulness, and because God is holy and set apart and different and above all, and no wrong in him, no flaw in him, he can have nothing to do with sinfulness. And the fact that we have sin in our life is what caused the gap between us and holy God. But God loved you so much that he put a plan in action, because he already had a plan, and that was to send his one and only son, Jesus, to live the sinless and perfect life that you and I will never be able to live up to. And the fact that Jesus, God's one and only son, willingly lived a sinless life, willingly died on the cross for your sins, because the penalty, the wages of our sin is death. We rightfully deserve death. The punishment or the payment for sin is blood sacrifice. It requires a blood sacrifice. But in order for the sin debt to be paid for in full, that person had to be perfect. And I'll be the first to admit, I'm the farthest thing from perfect. And I know we are, y'all are too. But Jesus was perfect. And the fact that Jesus died in your place, paying off your sin debt, ripping the bill up, paying for it in full, raising from the grave, truly proving that he is God's one and only son, that sin and death has been paid for in full by the blood of Christ. The fact that Jesus is alive and resurrected from the grave today means that there is a hope when we put our faith in Jesus. And maybe you don't know that hope. Maybe you're living a life that is hopeless because you don't know what to do with your life. You don't feel like there's a purpose with your life. Can I tell you, God has a plan for you. There is hope for you. And the hope is not in self. The hope is in Christ. I want to encourage you, would you put your faith and trust in the Lord today? Would you wake up to the reality of knowing that, man, we are sinful, we rightfully deserve hell, but that is not God's intention for you. God's desire for you is to be set apart, to live a life for him and with him for all eternity. But that means we've got to turn from our sinful life and put our faith and trust in Jesus once and for all. And it's as simple as this. No, you don't got to clean yourself up. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to get yourself right and then come to the Lord. Is that point will never come. If you wait to come to Jesus until you have your life together, you will never come to him then. And so I want to encourage you, scripture is clear as day. Romans 10:9 is this. You know, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And verse 13 packs that in, says, for everybody, not for the white folk, not only for the black folk, not only for those that are rich, that have the money to give to the church, anybody calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everybody. And so it's as simple as this. If you here today, you already believe all of that. You recognize you're a sinner. You've messed up. You know that God is holy. You understand that Jesus is God's one and only son, who lived a sinless life. You believe that he died on the cross for you, and you truly believe that God rose from the dead. Man, if you believe all of those things, what's holding you back from putting your faith and trust in the Lord? Because if you believe all those things, all you got to do is bend the knee, close your eyes, pray a simple prayer. Doesn't have to be, it's not a certain specific word, because he's not a genie in a lamp. You have to say, I wish I'm saved, or anything special chant. It's a simple confession of the heart. You realizing I'm a broken sinner and I need Jesus. Lord God, I am so sorry for my brokenness. I am so sorry for the sinful things I've done against you. Lord God, I truly believe that Jesus is your one and only son who lived, died, and rose again for me. Would you please come into my life and save me, change me? I give you my life. You say a prayer as simple as that, and you don't just chant that, you pray that full-heartedly, because it's not the word you say, it's the attitude of the heart. You say that and you mean that. Scripture says that you are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. You have been adopted into the family of God. And even more so, the Holy Spirit has taken presence in your life, which means you have now been set apart. You have a plan. There's a purpose for you. Would you surrender your life to the Lord today? And then if you do, man, let us know. We would love to know about that. If you need further help with that, understanding that, plug in as well. We'll give you resources. I'm sure we'll give you something to help you understand, get you plugged in somewhere. But that's our heart for you, is that right now. So With that being said, I am done, and I'll turn it back over to you.
Amen. Amen. What a great word. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Any final words before we leave?
Nope. Just trust in Jesus. Accept him today. Put your faith in the Lord and get back on track with him. He's worth it. That's it.
Amen. And you know, there's a piece of artwork behind you there. And we are sinful, dark, sinful people. And whenever we get saved and the Holy Spirit comes, he will bring up things. And he will help us. It's like refining silver. He'll bring it up, and then he helps us wipe it off. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes up to the surface. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, for me, whenever I was doing that picture, it was so sweet. He said, every time my image gets a little clearer, mm-hmm. my image in you gets a little clearer every time. Mm-hmm. So don't stop. Just keep going.
Mm-hmm. That's actually how a silversmith knows when the silver is mm-hmm. done, right? Yeah. Cooking out all the impurities and the dirt and grime is whenever the silversmith can look in the silver and see his own reflection, right?
Yeah.
So that's us right there.
So we that's see the what, reflection I mean, of yeah. Lord. I'm learning. I'm learning. And I don't ever want to stop.
Yeah. That's the desire, hopefully, for mm-hmm. everyone. Let's not stop.
He's so cool. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And I am going to say it again. This is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our handsome little brother in Christ, Jace Morrow. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time. Stay tuned for the Truth Broadcast. Faith and ketchup.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.